we can add one more thing to the list of ways that the coronavirus pandemic has changed people's lives in the United States: transportation planning. When Wisconsin's stay-at-home order took effect in March, traffic volume took a dive nearly overnight. In fact, traffic engineers at UW-Madison say weekday rush hour traffic fell by about 40% statewide the week the order was issued. Weekend traffic dropped by 60%. It's been slowly on the rise since, but still well below average. The order has given officials an opportunity to study real-life changes in traffic patterns, something that's typically only hypothetical. So what are they learning about traffic flows, potential trouble spots, and the future of transportation planning? James Longhurst is a history professor at UW-La Crosse. He specializes in public policy, transportation, and bicycle history, among other areas. James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Well, I imagine usually if you want to figure out, what different variables are going to do when it comes to transportation, you have to run models. Now you've got this real-world model in effect right now. How much use can you and other researchers get out of this?
Well, I'd say that even before we came to pandemics, modeling and forecasting future demand for transportation is a hilariously difficult, if not impossible, thing. And it's something that is many professionals have tried for a very long time to get to the point where we can reliably forecast, but it's still going to the casino. It really is a very difficult thing to go predict the future, and it's difficult to do even before we have a variety of overlapping crises.
Well, let's talk about this particular crisis, the COVID-19 pandemic, stay-at-home orders, a lot fewer people driving. What are some of the things we've learned so far?
Well, one of the things that I think we can take away from this, not just the difficulty of predictions, is that our major measurement of travel demand is VMT, or vehicle miles traveled. And we do that on a rolling monthly basis for the nation and then for localities. States actually report their data upwards to the nation. And we've had decreases in VMT in the past, obviously in the 1970s during energy crises, but then also after 2008, during the 2008 economic crisis. And that has modified how VMT has increased, or the rate of increase over time. But one of the things that we haven't really been able to test outside of sort of the economic impact on VMT is behavioral policy. And people have often thought of the idea of how if we could decrease, for example, rush hour demand and spread that out through behavioral interventions. And those behavioral interventions, sometimes we call them TDM, or transportation demand management. And so, for example, if we had more staggered work times, if everyone didn't have to get to work or to school at the same time. And that's been tested out regionally in places, and TDM has demonstrated success. But now we have the greatest intervention in commuting behavior ever, and we can see the impact is immense. So if it would be possible to stagger beginning work times, to increase those who telecommute or now are working from home, or perhaps to spread out or change the demand for the school run in the morning, I think we have clear evidence that the demand for future lane miles of highways and interstates and of streets and roads is impacted by behavior as well, and that can be modified.
That's so interesting, because it sounds like the only tool...
I was going to say, hopefully not in as extreme a manner as it is here.
Well,
this
right.
is no one's intention.
Exactly. So it sounds like the main tool in the toolkit, if you're only dealing with the supply side, is, it's too congested during rush hour. We need to add more lanes here. But we haven't done as much to try to manage that demand side in the past. I mean, is that something we can practically do absent a big pandemic? Can we actually... tweak things, put our fingers on the scale to get people to travel not during rush hour?
Well, I think that I would like to, as a historian, emphasize the fact that the world we build around us is a product of our policy choices, intentional or otherwise. And so I would I would very much like to think that we can make policy decisions which would alter that demand. I mean, for a very long time now, we have evidence that early morning school times are not great for the performance of children, and yet our design of our schools and institutions still emphasize those early times. It should be within our control to alter that, for example, and change morning rush hour in ways that change the availability and demand of transportation.
We're talking to James Longhurst, history professor at UW-La Crosse. We're talking about lessons we might be able to learn from a big decline in traffic during COVID-19 shutdowns, what they could mean for transportation planning in the future. James, I don't want to just talk about cars. Have we learned things about bicycle and pedestrian traffic?
Well, the way that I would phrase that is to remind everyone that the streets that we have are shared, and they're shared spaces for transportation of many, many things. We think about cars, private automobiles being the dominant form, but pedestrians are also legal road users, as are motorcycles and construction vehicles and emergency vehicles, and roads also are conduits for communication and right-of-ways for utilities and water and storm sewer. And roads are therefore commons. They're publicly shared commons. And sharing, as you and I and anyone who has young children know, sharing is incredibly difficult. And so sharing the street, the commons of the public street, is a deeply difficult thing to do. One of the things that's happened here in this particular instance is that what has been the dominant mode on our streets for the last 50 to 75 years has decreased slightly, and you've seen increases in other modes. Similarly, when public transit is at this moment perhaps not as attractive as it might be for some, or perhaps not filling in the same way that other modes fill in. So I think the lesson that we should take there is to remember that streets are intentionally and have been shared. I mean, the street as a legal entity has existed for centuries and millennia before the development of the automobile. And this current mode share we have now will certainly not be the mode share that we have in the future. I am also not going to try to predict that mode share, but I will predict it will be different than whatever we have now, because that has been the shared space of the commons in the past.
Now, given that we can't predict the future, are there ways to do transportation and road planning that leave flexibility in place so that we're not locked into this one way that didn't predict whatever the change is in 2 or 3 years?
Yes, I mean, certainly in examining iterative change rather than hilariously large and expensive projects that are automobile only. So small scale iterative change over time and designs that allow for multiple uses, because who can predict what will be the next crisis or emergency, whether it be economic or a change in social behavior or a pandemic or a change in the way we live in cities. But if you design a transportation network that is multimodal, that has opportunities for transit, for cab or multi-use, or for private automobiles, or for walking and biking, it doesn't particularly matter what comes down the pike, you've designed a future-proof system.
In our last minute, James, I know planners think about those things a lot. Are we, I know, as Americans, very good in thinking in that way of having flexible transportation systems that can account for more than just cars?
Absolutely not. And, you know, it's part of the problem that the world we see around us, we imagine that this is the world, the way the world always has been or always will be. But I do like to point out to people that the stop sign, as you and I understand it, the red octagon, the stop sign in that standardized design is only 70 years old. That the transportation network we've designed around us is actually quite recent in creation, and it's always changing, and always has, and it always will in the future. And I'd very much like to make certain we make designs that are not only sustainable and helpful and don't kill our budgets, but are also equitable and make cities better places to live for all of us.
James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
James Longhurst is a history professor at UW-La Crosse. He specializes in public policy and transportation and bicycle history. We talked with him about how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting short and long-term transportation planning around Wisconsin.